Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, airing worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whelan, and welcome to, I guess this would be our third hour, our second hour with our guests today. And I'd like to welcome our listeners at 13570 on the shortwave dial, also who might be listening on the internet at www.rbnlive.com. Now, my guest today has a lot of great information, and he has answers for you, and he is a hard man to track down if you're not talking to him in conjunction with a radio interview. Like myself, I could call up Martin and say, hey, let's do this, let's have this two-hour conversation about everything that you talk about. Well, I don't imagine that everyone can just call up and just talk to an author for several hours without having something like a show, because otherwise that would be kind of creepy, I would think. But Martin is joining us here today. Martin Zender, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, have we got the satellite tamed yet?
It's off and on.
Yeah?
Yeah. But from what I understand, there are people out there praying for us, so I've just been told
that. People up on the satellite praying for us?
Well, they're not standing there.
Oh, all right.
But, you know.
Wow, these are the true faithful. These elevated spirituality to a new level.
Yeah, literally. Martin, let's give out the phone number here. 1-800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide. 1-800-313-9443. Because this is a great opportunity for people to interact with you. And, we had done several interviews before. I don't know how many, probably four or five. With the show I used to have. It was just a local show, but people had always heard about it. You know, the message boards, like the Lamb Cafe, had always posted about your messages and things that you had to say. So people know about you, and this is very exciting for them. I have to tell you this, in the new book, Flawed by Design, that you just read, available next week, I was reading something that just blew my mind, really. And I thought this was one of the best things, really, that summed up so much of why this book is important. And it also dates back to, perhaps, it goes back to all of the information that we all have had to sort through in order to find the truth. If we're even there, a lot of us are still stuck in these organized religions. And I say it's stuck because I think that it's not a good place to be. But there is information that can get you out. And in your book, Flawed by Design, page 61, You're having a fictional conversation with the reader of the book, and it says, reader, quote, I bet your freedom in Christ just thrills you, and then your response, Martin, quote, yes, and there are so many priests I would like to thank who made that possible. My jaw hit the floor, Martin, when I read that. Do you know, I mean, obviously, because what you're saying in essence is that we're talking about God basically directing our entire lives, all aspects of it, and every single painful experience we have to go through is all done for a reason. And you had to grow up in a Catholic church to be able to delve into the scriptures properly, to seek out all the truth, and to write these books. I also had to have a basis in Catholicism in order to perhaps understand some of the basic tenets, but also so I could throw it off later in life and find the truth, which is that God does not live in man-made temples. It's quoted right there on the back of your book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I don't know why that's a shock. Again, it's so plain in the scriptures, but unless God gives it to you to see it, that's another thing. You just won't see it. I know of a guy, he prayed sincerely for God to lead him into the truth. And a week later, he got himself, or I shouldn't say that, God got him into the Worldwide Church of God, which is a cult. Anyway, he came out of that after 5 or 6 years to see the truth. And now this is a strange thing, because there is a man praying directly, God, help me, show me the truth. And God sends him on this wild goose chase, which is not a wild goose chase. It's a purposeful path to bring him to where he is now.
It's amazing. That is truly amazing. Boy, I'll tell you what, that just sneaks up on you. There's the music. Once again, folks, quick break. We'll be right back with more from Martin Zender. Stay tuned to Frankly Speaking Radio. Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, airing worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and good Friday morning to you. We've got a good 2 hours left for you to hear this broadcast, participate in this broadcast, of course, online at rbnlive.com on shortwave at 13570. And the phone number, of course, to get a hold of our good friend, 1-800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Zender. Martin, again, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Always good to be with you, Frank.
Oh, man, love having you. Love having you. Now, you know, when you're bringing up this information to people and you tell them that they don't need to go to church, I imagine it's, at this point, you're going to get some animosity, and you probably already have all the scriptures lined up and said, look, here, now maybe you have a printout. And said, dear, you know, insert name here. Here are the reasons why you don't know what you're talking about. And then just hand it to them. It's a lot easier than having this conversation all the time.
That's a great title for the readout. That's why you don't know what you're talking about. You're trying to help me here?
Yeah. Well, I've never been good with subtlety, fortunately.
Never been good with subtlety. Well, I'm not. That's not my strong suit either, but... No, this is the thing. I go on radio and I talk about this, and the host always goes, "Oh man, Martin, you're really riling people up, and the phone lines are buzzing away, and he's taking calls, and just kind of you can just picture him putting on a helmet and a face guard and everything." And people come on and they say, "Amen. I've been thinking the same thing myself." And the hosts are always going, "What? Well, let's take another call." It's like they want somebody to be mad at me and yell.
Right.
So they take another call. Amen. I'm waiting to hear something like this, you know, or somebody will, and then they'll take another call, say, "I came out of the church 2 years ago and I've never been happier." So I think people, it's just the emperor's new clothes. It's that kind of that
yeah.
type of a syndrome where it takes a brash young kid to come up and say, "Hey, y'all notice the emperor's naked?" And then people go, "Yeah, we knew that, but we."
I didn't want to be the first one to
I
say.
I didn't want to be the first one to say.
That's
and
right.
I think Jesus was the same way, too.
Yeah.
People knew something was rotten in Pewland there at the temple. And so they knew their Pharisees were snakes, hypocrites, and vipers, but nobody dared said it. And then here comes Jesus. You guys are hypocrites, snakes, and vipers. People are going, "Didn't we say that just last week?" You know, but
yeah.
nobody's going to talk about it.
You're absolutely right. Let's talk about the term church, because the term church... is used, I guess, quite broadly in the Bible, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's
a generic
okay.
word, and people hate to hear that. It's like a blasphemous. You're using the word generic to describe church. It was a 10-cent word that the Greeks had. It's a two-part Greek word. Ek is the prefix, which means out of. Ecclesia means called. So it's called out of. Any group of people that's called out of something is an ecclesia. And the best way to research things in the scripture is to find the word and trace it to another context. And so in Acts chapter 19, the word ecclesia is used to describe a riot of heathens. It is literally called a church. But of course the King James they're not consistent.
Right.
The King James translators saw the word, this holy word, ecclesia, and they saw it used in this context. The context was Paul and his friends were discouraging the sale of this goddess, Diana, and the fashioners of the goddess were quite upset about it, and they started a riot against Paul, and they called it an ecclesia. This ecclesia must come to order, and the translators must have saw that context in about... spit up on their tea, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, what the heck? We can't make this church. It's, even though it's the same Greek word that 100 other places they made church, here they made it assembly. So if you look in King James Version, you'll see that this assembly must come to order. Well, those wimps, those big English babies, I get so mad at that because you have to have a concordance. If you have a concordance, then you look up assembly, go back to, and you find out, oh, that's the word ecclesia. Why those hypocrites? Why didn't they translate it consistently? And so it's a generic word. It just means called out. And really, the very definition of the word out suggests that you're not in.
Yeah.
And so an ecclesia or a church is a people. This assembly was consisted of people. So I ask you and the listeners, how can you go to people? That doesn't make sense.
That's brilliant.
You assemble with people. This is not a building. A church is not a building. And Paul verifies this on his great speech on Mars Hill, where they're going to hold the Olympics here. You know, the Olympics is going to be right near here in Athens. On Mars Hill, when the Apostle Paul was there, he said, God does not live in man-made temples. And he's telling that to the heathens who assumed that you could carve God out of stone. And he was relating what he had to say to those heathens who were carving their gods out of stone.
Mm-hmm.
So I relate to people, and this, I might get some calls on this, but I'm saying that limiting God to a building, saying you have to go to church, is just as bad as these Epicurean and Stoic these philosophers that Paul was addressing, saying that God can be fashioned out of marble or clay, an image.
Right. Well, you know, I'm going to take I'm going to
take
your bet, and I'm
going
to take it a step further. I'm going to say this. And folks, if you want to call in and be angry, by all means, call in and be angry at me. I will not bash you for believing differently, but we need to have this dialogue. And if I have to be the one with the bucket of cold water, so be it. So I make this statement, and I make it of my own free will, independent of anything Martin Zender has said. I say all organized religions are cults. Every single one. 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. You do not need a building. You do not need a pastor to stand up there and talk about, you know, whatever. You don't need to be there at specific dates or times, in my opinion, anyway. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I mean, the classification for a church would be a gathering of people, but it's always in a building.
Right,
always, at this time of day.
Yeah, it's always go to church, and as if God could be limited to this
right. Location.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you hit it, Derek, the fact that, well, some people say it's just a matter of convenience that we're all going to get together at 10 o'clock, but how many times have you seen a sign like Holy Spirit Revival, 7 p.m.? I always wondered, does the Holy Spirit have a watch?
What happens if you get there at 10 to 7?
Yeah, and what if it's in a different time zone? The Spirit's not going to be there.
Right,
the audacity.
Right.
How do these people know that the Holy Spirit revival is going to occur at 10 o'clock? Therefore, friends,
Right. Therefore,
the men who are organizing this thing, if, quote, nothing happens, they have to manufacture something. Because those people came to see Holy Spirit revival. And if
that's
the Holy
right.
Spirit lost his watcher, is in Pacific time zone or something, then they're going to have to make it happen. And that's what you see on Trinity Broadcasting Network.
That's right.
All these people trying to force spirituality, trying to make it happen. Well, okay, let's play some music.
Yeah. What it does is the churches nowadays, they are constantly putting up some sort of, it's almost like television, where you have to have constant, you know, bright flashing lights
right.
and cool music and constant barrage of images. We do live in a fast food culture and an instant gratification culture, and we can't let people get bored, so we got to keep bombarding them with things. And that's what we see in a lot of these churches, at least from, you know, the last time I was in one, which was quite a while ago.
Well, yeah, that is what you see there. And the reason, television cannot broadcast peace and tranquility. It's boring. And so you have to have some kind of conflict. That's why, you know, the big eye scans the globe and finds out all the things that are going wrong in the world and then dumps them on you at 6 and 11. And it's the same with church. People need that stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
We are in an era of 10-second attention span, and they're constantly having to do different tricks. And somehow, Frank, I don't think Jesus did that.
Right.
I don't think he worried about it. I think that what he was telling them held them. He didn't need charts. I don't think he had a laser pointer, you know, and a song sheet. It was spontaneous, and it was beautiful. And I am old enough to say that I think that the same thing can happen today.
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, Martin, you're telling people to leave the church on Sunday. They're going to start their life of crime on Monday. People are convinced
right.
that the church is what is keeping them moral. The
that's
church,
right.
But that's not the case. It's a fear because you're leaving your security blanket. And anytime you take a step into the unknown, there's going to be a certain amount of fear involved there. So that's where the verses come in to help people understand that this is of God, mm-hmm. and to take that step and to realize, hey, I'm walking. It's
Martin,
like, it's like the roadrunner, you know, used to walk off the cliff and he just kept walking, you know.
And he didn't fall until he noticed. That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, he didn't fall until he noticed.
I'm going to take a call here while we have a few minutes, and then I want to explore where you're going, because I know where you're going because I've read the books. And I love this. This is one of the things that you're about to talk about, which is like the law versus the spirit, if you will. And that really blew my mind on the CD, which we're going to talk about. Amanda in Texas, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, Amanda.
Fine. I got out of the car and I got back in, so I don't know if you covered this or not. But so you're saying that any church that meets together is cultic.
I say that, absolutely.
That was Frank.
Yeah, I say that. And here's the thing. What I'm saying, though, is that an organized religion binds you. An organized religion pigeonholes you. And I submit to you, Amanda, to every listener out there, that an organized religion has doctrine that is, it's probably based on the scriptures, but it has changed over time. And as it has changed over time, it has been changed by human beings. So your adherence to that doctrine means you give up your God-given free will to submit to the law of man, to the rule of man, and subsequently the worship of man. I'll tell you what, we got a break on it. Amanda, stay with us.
Yeah, stay with us.
Okay, stay with us, and Martin, you stay with us. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Frankly Speaking Radio returns right after this. Good morning, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, airing worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and welcome back. Amanda, I hope you're still with us. And Martin Zender, great. Thanks for sticking around. Martin Zender, also welcome. Folks, the phone number to interact, 1-800-313-9443. We're talking about faith. We're talking about churches, controversial stuff. But I submit that you can get more out of fellowship by doing it in a comfortable scenario, maybe like what we're doing here. And Martin, I don't know what your thoughts are on what I said, but I'd like to, I don't know if you'd like to respond first. Let's hear Amanda first, though. Amanda.
Yeah, I'd like to hear Amanda.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like maybe both of y'all have come from really ritualistic churches, and maybe you've never been to a church that's more free as far as, you know, it's not, you turn to hymn number 405 and you read this and then you have the prayer and then everything's the same every Sunday and you're made to feel guilty for not coming. I'm coming from a different angle. First of all, mm-hmm. I believe what you said. I don't think you have to go to church.
Right.
I do believe that basic fact.
Sure, sure.
But I do also think that there's a lot of good to come out of a Bible believing church. And when I say that, I mean truths
sure.
that are taken straight from the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a camaraderie. You have a support group. You have a place to serve. You have mentorship.
Yeah.
And this all comes in. And I'm talking about not in a place where you feel guilty when you don't come and they call you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and let me. I should probably quantify. When I say all churches, I should probably say all the ones, all the big ones. Okay. Now I know that there are smaller churches that have a mandate, perhaps, where they can operate somewhat independently from, you know, as opposed to Catholicism. Martin and I both came out of Catholicism, and yeah, that's very ritualistic and it's very guilt oriented faith.
I know. I agree with
that. Yeah. Now, and the other thing too is
some of the fundamental Baptists are like that as well.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I'm talking about, and see, here's the thing. And I went to a private Christian school. I was raised in church and all that. But I did come to a time in my life where I went through a spiritual journey when I doubted what I was raised with and sought to find the truth.
Yeah.
And I don't know if everybody does that. I think a lot of people just go around believing what they always believe. But if you come to that conclusion.
All right, I think we lost her. Oh, well, Amanda,
yeah,
I hope you'll call back. But, Martin, please, by all means, go ahead.
Yeah, I hope Amanda's still listening.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my read on that. I know we've been talking about the Catholic Church, and the main emphasis there is we're anti-ritual, anti-stand-up, kneel, read this,
yeah,
and do that. But I think I have been to different churches, and the problem, and I think you suggested this before the break, is not ritual, it's doctrine.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The doctrines that elevate man over God. And I guarantee if Amanda wants to call back, that's great. But her doctrines at the church are probably your run-of-the-mill standard Christian blasphemy. And she doesn't realize it.
That's right.
But elevating the will of man over God, making God a really horrible being who, if you don't love him and soon, he's going to send you to an eternity of torment. Some of these things can be believed in a nice setting.
Yes.
You can believe in the horrible God in a nice country church setting. Well, we don't have a structure here. We're free. Come and visit us. You don't have to worry about the ritual. We don't tell you you have to go to church. But there's this undercurrent of a man that elevated above God, and the hypocrisy
yeah.
is there in every church I have been to, that they say that there's nothing you have to do. They say you're saved by grace, and here's how. They say things, but it's hypocrisy, and you get there and you find out that no, it's really not free. You have to maintain a good way of living. You have to exercise your free will in the proper way, or pardon me, but God's going to torment you for eternity, but you know, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Right.
And it's the doctrine that repudiates
That's
God,
right.
and I'm sickened by the doctrine. And
That's
I'm,
right. I mean,
yeah.
You're absolutely right. Look, we're talking about Catholicism here, but we're not just saying a Catholic church because it's a building that's labeled Catholic, or the statues that are there, or the kneeling, sitting, standing, shaking hands, eating, you know, cannibalistically eating a representative of Jesus's flesh. I mean, we're not just that's the main thing here. You're absolutely right. It's the doctrine. You know, I said it the other day when the guy called up Rick, who was not happy with me, and I understand it. Like I said, I've been that guy. I sympathize. But ultimately, when you're looking at these things, you have to factor in that God didn't pop on down and tell the Pope, you know, I want you to, the official position of Catholicism, look the other way about the Holocaust. And then he comes back a couple decades later and says, you know what, I think it's time you apologize for the Holocaust. No, because that would indicate an incorrect judgment on the part of God. God doesn't make mistakes here, people. That's the point.
But the Pope does.
But the Pope does. He's a human being. He's fallible. And that's really what we're getting at here. It's not just Catholicism. It's every single organized religion out there, because they claim God is telling them this and our position is that. But that's just it. By making, and she didn't get to address this, maybe because the phone died out, I don't know. But she never really addressed my point of following the doctrine and therefore giving up free will, a gift from God, just surrendering it like that. There's the music. We'll take a break. I know we've got some callers. Bear with me, folks. We'll take them as soon as we get back on Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, airing worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I hope that people are getting this message. We're trying to unbottle the message today. We're trying to have a dialogue with people. It's okay to disagree, folks. It's okay if you feel differently. But this is how people change. They're confronted with something. You get to debate it. You get to look at it. You get to talk about it. You get to see it from other people's points of view. And then you can form an opinion about something, an informed opinion, based on the evidence presented here today. And my guest today, Martin Zender, a great champion for the truth. Let's welcome him back, folks, from MartinZender.com, author, speaker, Martin Zender. Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
There's the Martin Zender theme song. sounds suspiciously like the Martin Lawrence theme song, but, you know, we won't mention that.
No.
Well, we've got some more people calling in. Did you want to say anything before we take some more calls?
Well, just one thing. Hang in there, callers.
Yeah. You know, be patient through these breaks.
People love to bash the Catholics, and, see, I realize that. So in my book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, I start that way, and I'm sure that all the other Christians are going, oh, good, you know, he's letting
this
me have it.
This is the book we've been wanting. Yeah.
This is the book. And then the spotlight starts to turn, you know, just a little bit, chapter two, chapter three, and then they find out that they're in the same boat. And
gradualism.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Well done.
Thank you.
Well, that's a great point, and you're right. In fact, you may recall one of our interviews we did, a gal called up, and she was from a particular doctrine, and I told her, I said, your cult's just as bad as the Catholics. She was so mad at me, I swear to God, got 10 hateful emails every single day, filled with cuss words for weeks until she started thinking about it and exploring these things, and then I got the apologetic email saying that you were right the whole time.
Are you kidding me?
No, swear. It's true.
Wow, that's
all
a great
true.
Story.
It's interesting, and there's more to it, and that could be more explicit if we weren't, you know, the world was not listening. But let's go to a great friend, Martin. I know I've told you about him. Zeph Daniel is on the phone. Zeph, welcome to the show.
Hey, this is really, you're talking my language here.
I know it. Both of you guys have really, really straightened me out in as far as spirituality goes. So it's great that you're both here.
If I need to find Satan, I'm going to go to the church. Because I know I'll find him there, but I don't need to find him right now, so I think I won't go to the church at this moment.
Don't really want him in your life in the moment.
Martin Zender, your book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, I read it. I had not, you know, I'd been in process on the doctrine of hell for a few years, you know, and that book proved to me I hadn't quite worked it out at that time. I hadn't really received in the spirit the truth. I'd been waiting and waiting to understand because, you know, the doctrine of hell is... it's hard to understand. And your book made me really angry. I have to apologize to you because I went off on you. You may not have heard about it, but, you know, it. Then later on I realized, as time had gone on, that, and I was being ministered to in the Spirit and in my reading, you know, I let the Holy Spirit lead in where I go. And then we wind up today, I realized, I told Frank, I said, you know, Zender and me, we're writing the same thing about hell. I don't know how I arrived at it, but I said, I owe this man an apology. So at one point I was at this level of, you know, I don't know, I had to examine it. Do I want, you know, I had some unforgiveness going. You know, I wanted to see people go to hell that I didn't like or that hurt me. I wanted to see them suffer. And so it kind of, the book sort of convicted me. You know, why do I need that? Why do I need to see somebody go to hell? You know? And then I was taken in the Spirit, and I went to heaven in the Spirit, you know, traveling in the Spirit. And when I was in heaven, there was nobody there that knew anything about hell. This would call it a vision, if you like, you know, or even a notion.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know about hell there. They didn't know anyone that was, they weren't dealing with that. They were just doing whatever was the thing they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like in joy and peace. So anyway, it's I did not recommend the book at one time, and I had a bad day the day I read it, I have to admit, you know. And then now I do recommend the book, but like in all things, you know, you have to really you know, take as the Spirit leads you. You know, the Spirit needs to be above the flesh. You got to be led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
The whole problem that you guys are talking about is carnal versus spiritual. We deal with it every day.
Yeah.
When carnal is put, you know, when man is in charge of things, it becomes carnal, which is satanic. When the Spirit is in charge of things, it becomes spiritual and anointed. And, you know, and that pisses the world off because of the fact that the carnal people are always the organizers, and they like to go around correcting people, and they like to form churches, and they want to have groups, and they want the consensus process, and they want to put the spiritual people out in the street, you know, the John the Baptist types. They want to throw them out.
Yeah.
Now, this has always been the battle, and I'm gonna stop yakking now and let you two guys carry on from here.
Well, Zeph,
Martin Zender, really appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Yeah, Zeph, you had mentioned, God bless you, you had mentioned, Zeph, that you'd read, I know you read How to Quit Yourself, Quitting God, and one of the things that struck you was the love bomb as well in the organized churches. And Martin, I'll let you respond to both Zeph's comments and me passing along his comments as well.
Well, in the book Martin Zender Goes to Hell, I have facts.
Yeah.
In that book. And people don't think facts can be spiritual. Spiritual is supposed to be this fuzzy netherworld, but that's not true. Paul speaks in the scripture of spiritual words.
Yeah.
And so I convict people and apparently anger people
mm-hmm.
with words. And yet I prove in that book that the whole doctrine of hell, and I wasn't sure where Zeph was going. It sounded like he was saying that in heaven, everybody forgets about hell. The fact is that the whole Christian doctrine of hell is wrong. It's not it's not that you get to heaven and, oh, good, I've forgotten about my mother.
No.
There.
I think what he's saying is that he was taken there in the spirit and no one knew about it because it isn't there, because it's not real. I think that's where he was going, is that it was proven to him that hell is not real.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you straightened that out.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where that was going. And I got to say something on the heels of what you just said.
Yeah.
Is that I believe in hell. All three of them.
Three.
What is it? See, what is it? I don't believe in the Christian doctrine of eternal torment.
Right.
What they're saying about it is not what Jesus said about it.
Right.
Jesus did not speak English. And again, these are facts. He never said hell in his life. He didn't speak English. He said Gehenna. Oh, that's a whole, I wonder what that means. He said Hades. Oh, I wonder what that is. And when you start looking at the details and spending 15 minutes looking behind what your church is telling you, you will expose the fact that they are taking, twisting the scripture. They're blinking in the scripture and they're missing an important point over here. They're taking a figure of speech literally. They're making small mistakes that add up to one big damnable doctrine. And when people read my book and say, well, I just don't believe that, I say, well, which one of my 146 facts didn't you like?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, there's a difference between hell and eternal torment.
Right.
Again, in essence,
Jesus
yeah.
said Gehenna. What did he mean? He said there's three different, and here's the crime of the King James translators, same thing they did with Ecclesia. They took three different Greek words and made them hell.
Right.
What a crime, Frank. You know, when the word Gina, or when the word Jerusalem was in there, they translated Jerusalem. When the word Bethania, they translated Bethany. All these geographical locations, they transliterated them over into English. That's the way to Jerusalem, they made it Jerusalem. Hey, that's good translating. All of a sudden, we get Gehenna, which is also a geographical location, and they make hell. What's that? Where did that come from? It's inconsistent translating. Jesus wasn't threatening anyone with an eternity of torment in fire. Now we should get some calls.
Yes, we should. 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. Amanda, is she back? Is she still there?
Back.
Hey, wonderful.
Hey,
thanks for the
back.
Call.
She hopped off the satellite.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I went through that area with my cell phone.
No problem.
Well, I was just, you know, you were talking about the doctrine, and I think that what you were suggesting is that people cannot think for themselves, that if they sit in a pew somewhere, that they're just going to believe everything that someone tells them. And also, what I was saying is, like at our church,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to answer to some type of organization. We don't have a Pope to answer to. We don't have a Baptist organization to answer to. There's freedom for the Spirit to move, and it's not always the same, and things are different, and, you know, like, I haven't been there a lot this summer. I've been doing things. I've had things to do. That doesn't make me less spiritual.
When I go to
church, I don't feel like people, you know, think, where were you and stuff. And so I don't see that there's anything wrong with that situation. A group of people who believe the same thing, meeting together for fellowship, for camaraderie, for a support group. It's kind of like all of us who listen to this radio station and believe what we believe about what's going on in the government. You know, we need a support group because the things that we believe
sure.
are contradictory with most of the world.
Well,
yeah.
Let's go right there, Amanda.
Okay.
What you believe, you have been influenced, even when you're not at church, you believe in a God that if you don't love him on time, he's going to torment you.
I don't believe that.
Okay, I assume something. I'm sorry that I assumed that you did believe that. You don't believe that.
No.
You don't believe punishment for anything, or
you don't believe it?
I mean, I believe in having, you know, like if you're
not born again, right?
Well, if you're not born again, what happens to you according to what you?
Well,
believe?
See, I do believe in hell, and I do believe
that's
that.
What I was getting at. You do believe in hell.
Yeah.
So you do believe that if you're not, quote, born again, if you don't make, quote, that important decision for Christ, that you're doomed, right?
I do believe that.
Okay. The church influenced you. You did not come up with that on your own. That is false teaching, okay? And so even when you're not at the church, you live under the umbrella of that kind of God who would do something like that. And honestly, you have to not think about it in order to get through the day. Amanda, you have to not think about what you believe in order to even sleep at night. Now, that is the influence of the church. So you can see that your whole being, your whole belief structure was influenced by that church. You don't have to be in the doors for that, Amanda.
Okay, but that's with everything. I mean, you can be totally influenced by the media or by the
And that's
TV.
A bad thing. I know, but what we're saying is that's a bad thing.
And once you see it, you can break out of it.
And I'm saying that the church has done a bad thing to you that maybe you don't even realize now. And I appreciate what you're saying, that you are an independent thinker. Therefore, I am going to issue a challenge to you today.
Okay.
I am going to send you a free copy of my book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell. And
outstanding.
And
I'll read it, and I'll read it with an open mind.
Perfect. That's all I'm asking. And then if your mind is open, I guarantee you, you're going to change your mind about it. I mean, I guarantee you.
My concern is that, you know, I think it's important for people to have a relationship with God, very important for their life. And, you know, most people are not going to do it on their own. And they're not going to go, you know, I would, you would, people who will study things on their own and find out the truth seekers will do that. But other people will not. And so they'll go along their whole life listening to TV and watching and going along with whatever the world tells them is right without ever knowing the truth. And so in that way, the church is good because it at least gets them to a spiritual level that they wouldn't get without
it. Right. Actually, yeah, that's a decent point, and that's sort of what we had talked about earlier, which is I'm glad that I had the background that I had, and I know Martin has said the same thing, that by being able to have a contrast, a comparison between here is what they say, and then me feeling that was incorrect, going straight to the scriptures and finding the discrepancies in the two ideas, then I was able to have that personal relationship, as opposed to, as you mentioned, that you're allowed to think for yourself, but only you're allowed to think for yourself, but you're influenced by the parameters that they lay down on you.
I'm not saying that that's not true.
Okay.
I see that. I can see that.
Yeah.
I just think it's, you know, most people are not going to go and find out on their own.
Yeah.
Most people are not going to go and study on their own.
That's true.
And so being invited to church at least gets them to a certain point of spirituality. And so I think saying all churches are cultic in nature is bad in the sense that it will cause some people to go, oh, yeah, great, we don't have to go.
And
they shouldn't have to go. I'm not saying that they
have
to
go. What? I would rather that somebody believe nothing about God than to believe in a God that doesn't exist. To believe
okay, well,
I falsehood.
Probably need to read your book.
Well, I'm going to sign it. I'm going to sign it for you. I'm going to personalize it, and I'll get it to Frank, and he'll get it to you. We'll work it out. I don't know. What do you usually say at this point, Frank? Stay on the line?
Yeah, we can do that.
I need to go pretty soon so
okay.
I can get you all that information.
No problem. Just go ahead, and our call screener, our producer, will take your info and give that to me. Thank you very much, Amanda.
Great call.
And, folks, you saw right there. She disagreed. We had a great conversation. Excellent, excellent stuff. Do you want to take some more calls?
Yes.
Let's do it. Jeff in Texas, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello. Hello, Martin.
Hi,
I believe you're absolutely right about the doctrine of churches being a killer. I was raised Catholic. I'm a very well-educated person that has always lived my life based on reason and based on facts. However, this February, I was born again, and it is a true supernatural experience. I was baptized by immersion in water, and I will tell anybody out there that they do need to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven, as it says in John 3:5.
Don't throw away facts too soon, though. Jeff. I mean, I know you said you were in the realm of reason and facts, but I don't want you to, now that you're, quote, born-again Christian, I don't want you to jettison facts.
Well, I don't want you to either, and I would have anybody that believes in God to be born again, which basically means to be to die, be buried, and rise again with Jesus Christ, and that is done through the receiving of the Holy Ghost, being baptized by immersion in water, and receiving of the Holy Spirit.
So what happens is, what happens, Frank, I got a weird echo going
yeah.
on here.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, now I'm just in Bryce Canyon.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
We'll have to go hiking someday and talk about these things.
Yeah, that's right. So, Jeff, let me see if I get you straight. If you're not dipped in water, you can't be saved.
Well, let's look at what the scriptures say. The Bible talks many times about the washing of the body. You can go to any Bible search engine and look up the word wash, and you'll see that the Greek word is lutron, and that means to be bath, to wash by taking a bath. If you look at, matter of fact, there's a good example of this in traditional Greek weddings. On the wedding day, in the morning, the bride takes what they call a lutron nuomphikon, which is a nuptial bath. It is a true immersion. And what's interesting about it is it's not only identifying with Jesus Christ by being buried with him. If you look in the scriptures, you're actually identifying with the
Israelites
who went through the
Jeff, Jeff, hold on. Folks, stay with us. And Jeff, you stay with us too. And Martin Zender, we've got another hour, folks. Stay with us. Frank Speaking Radio will return right after this. Good morning, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, airing worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and welcome back. I think Jeff is probably still with us. Martin Zender is our guest today. He's been with us for 2 hours already. It's amazing how fast time flies, isn't it, Martin?
Yeah, it really is.
All right, guys.
Hey,
all right.
Jeff.
Martin, are you there?
First of all, I want to say, guys, I want to commend you for having the braveness and just the love of truth to even discuss this on the air.
You're very kind, Jeff.
It's
thank
in
you
our
so
natures.
Much.
It's in our natures. We don't have to work extremely hard at it. I'd like to ask you, I want to get to back to the main point here.
Yeah.
If people aren't immersed in water, they're doomed. Correct?
Well, I would tell you that's a very delicate question. Now,
wait a minute. Now, this is huge now.
No, no, I want to absolutely...
One at a time.
Yeah, I want to absolutely address that. Jesus did say if you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. There are there's two risings from the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise at the end times. And also, there's a white throne judgment that takes place in the book of Revelation.
Okay,
so
but
say that if you know about Jesus Christ and you know about salvation, you need to be born again.
What happens if you're not?
Well, I would just say that the scripture says you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, so let me throw another
scripture in there.
Well, wait a minute.
Hold on, Jeff. Let Martin address.
I
got
to get back to the nuts and bolts of
sure.
this thing. I got it, because this is what people are listening to hear. They want to know, what do I have to do?
Right.
Martin says I don't have to do anything. Jeff's on the line telling me that I have to be baptized. Now,
right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am saying that.
So, if a person is not immersed in water, they're going to hell. That is what you're saying, correct?
What I'm saying is just right in line with Galatians 3:27. If you haven't been baptized, or as many of you have been baptized unto Christ, have put on Christ.
And you think that has to do with being dunked in physical water?
Yes, and I will tell you that is a true supernatural experience. It's one of the most wonderful things. It is the most wonderful thing that has ever happened to me.
Oh, sure, it's wonderful for you.
Well,
about the person who believed and they couldn't make it to the lake on time, or they died on the way to the lake? They died on the way to the lake, Jeff. Where are they?
I hope Jeff is still there. Do we put him on hold?
Jeff, they died on the way to the lake.
would make that judgment. I trust that the Lord would...
Jeff. Please, let him speak, okay? He's going to ask you some questions. We want to flush this out, but gosh, we can't talk all over each other. This is not Jerry Springer.
Fine.
Okay? All right, good man. Go ahead, Martin.
Well, I'm just asking Jeff. They die on the way to the lake. Where are they?
I don't know where they are.
I do.
Okay.
I know that the baptism Jesus spoke of was in water. It was a type of a greater baptism, the spiritual baptism. At the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That was for those Jews at the time. And the kingdom of the heaven Jesus spoke of was a thousand-year kingdom. These people had no idea of eternity. They didn't understand that. They were all trying to get into the kingdom. Water baptism was necessary at that time to get into the kingdom of the heavens, as you rightly said. But what is the kingdom of the heavens? If you look in the context, it's the thousand years that was prophesied where Israel would rule the earth. Now, nowadays,
Israel?
With the word with grace, it's not works are not necessary for eternal life, and that includes baptism. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to observe the law of Moses. You don't have to have the end of your dick cut off anymore. You know what? You don't have to sacrifice lambs.
Absolutely. Sure.
All right, hold on, guys. Time for a break, folks. Stay with us. More with our guest Martin Zender as Frankly Speaking Radio continues worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network.